Good evening, everybody. How you doing? All right, good. Thanks. That's much better than the college crowd usually. I get one or two goods there, so that I like that. There were at least three of you there, so that makes me feel good and welcome. So I appreciate that. My name's Adam Tarnow. I get to direct the college ministry here at Watermark. Excited. I'm going to be with you guys for a couple of weeks and talking about when Christians go to college. And so this got me thinking about when I was where you guys are. So when I was a senior in high school, or this probably actually started around about my junior year of high school, when I started to think about college, when I started to dream about that day that I was going to actually leave my parents' household and go to school, I really went into college, or the one thing that really was on my mind that I was most excited about was just probably the thing that excites you guys the most too when you think about this, is the freedom that Blake talked about. This freedom that you have to no longer be under your parents' roof, no longer having them telling you what to do, requiring you to do certain things, or just being able to make any of your own decisions and do it at whatever it is that you want to do. And so that started about my junior year of high school, of really just starting to dream about what life was going to be like when I could just be completely and totally free. And so when I went into college, I really went into college with two goals. One primary goal, and my primary goal was this, and it was that I was going to make college, or do my best to make sure that college was the best 4 years of my life. All right, and this may be something that you guys have already started to think about, but this was going to be, I didn't know what kind of friends I was going to have there. I kind of had an idea of what I was going to study when I went to college, but my main goal when I stepped foot on that campus was that I was going to do whatever I possibly could to make sure that my time there was going to be the best 4 years of my life. And the reason why I was going to do all I could to make sure that that was the best 4 years of my life was because of what my other goal was when I graduated from college. I don't know how many of you guys have started to think about that now and try to answer the question, like, why even go to college? Why is it that so many people are pressuring us or suggesting that we go to college? And when I tried to answer that question when I was in high school, my answer to that question was really simple. I'm going to college so that I can get a job. Like, that's what I thought. That was the bridge I thought I had to cross in order to be able to get a job. And so I knew that life after I graduated from college was going to be just this boring, mundane job. Like, I was actually going to become my parents after I graduated from college. And so I saw that life and I was like, this is the life I'm trying to get away from, for crying out loud. And so I'm going to do whatever I can. I've got this 4-year window. I've got this 4-year time frame to do whatever I can to make sure that I'm going to have the most fun I possibly can have. This is going to be the best 4 years of my life. And I'll tell you what, when I stepped on that campus the very first fall, I dreamed about the freedom, but it was so much better than I could possibly imagine to not have my parents. I mean, just the food options alone were unbelievable. And you guys might have heard about this, but here's this crazy thing, and I went to Clemson University in South Carolina, and so the dining hall had just been renovated right before I showed up, and so this dining hall that all the freshmen went to, I remember walking in there, and I looked, and there was like this wall of just containers of cereal, like every possible breakfast cereal you could imagine was out. And guess what? And it wasn't just out at breakfast. It was out at lunch, and it was out again at dinner. And so therefore, nobody was telling me what to eat. If I wanted to, I could eat cereal all 3 meals, and nobody would care. And then there was the ice cream machine. And so, you know, when I was with my parents, if I ever went to get ice cream, it was 1 scoop, 2 scoops. I never got to put the cone under the machine by myself and pull down the lever and just see how big I could possibly get that thing. I mean, and so that's what I was doing all the time. I mean, the freedom was so much better than I could possibly imagine. And I remember, David and I were talking about this as we were preparing for tonight. I remember when I was sometime in like second or third grade having dessert one night in my house. And it was like a Twinkie or something like that, or a Hostess cupcake. And I remember that eating that Twinkie and really wanting another one when I was done, and asking my mom, like, hey, can I have another Twinkie or can I have another cupcake or more of whatever that candy is that I'm eating? And she was like, no, no, no. It was always no. And like second or third grade, I just used to sit there and dream about when I get my own place. When I get my own place, I'm going to eat nothing but Twinkies all day long. Like my whole apartment, my whole dorm room is going to be full of Twinkies and Hostess cupcakes. And it was like this was coming to fruition to me in college. And so the freedom that I had was absolutely unbelievable. I could study whenever I wanted to. Nobody ever told me when to wake up. I could go to bed whenever I wanted to. And that is why, or part of the reason why I was so excited to go. And that may be part of the reason why some of you guys are really, really excited to maybe one day go to college. But I was going to do whatever I could to make sure that this was the best 4 years of my life. But there was a constraint to my fun, and you guys are going to see this, okay? And I wasn't alone with that being like my mantra when I went to school. I was not the only person on that campus that said, this is going to be the best 4 years of my life. And if you guys go to school and that's your attitude, you will not be alone. There are going to be plenty of other students that are going to be sit there and go, that's exactly right. This is going to be the best 4 years of my life. But there's a constraint on all of that. And that constraint is so long as you can get good grades. The constraint on all the fun is so long as you can get good grades. That in college becomes like when you're getting too wild or you're getting too out of control. It's not what you're doing to your body or it's not what you're doing to your relationships and it's not where are you in your relationship with God. The ceiling or the floor on how far is too far and when is life getting out of control, the determining factor for most college students is your grades. As long as you can still get good grades, then all the wild behavior, all the fun behavior is deemed okay. And you guys are going to see this. This is what's going to happen is that you're going to see people that will be there your freshman year and they're not going to show up their sophomore year because they got like a 0.26 GPA or something like that, okay? Like you've got to try to get a 0.26 GPA. You got to like purposely not turn stuff in when you could. But you're going to see that their parents looked at them and said, hey, because you're not getting the grades, you now can no longer come back. Because the goal for most people when they're there at school is just this really small life when you're done. It's just, and you might have heard this already from your parents. That's the reason why your parents want you to get such good grades now. They want you to get good grades now so that you can get into what? A good college. And then if you keep going down the road, all right, well, mom and dad, why do you want me to go to a good college? Well, you need to go to a good college so you can get a good education. All right, well, why do I need a good education? Well, you need a good education so you can get a good job. Well, why do I need a good job? You need a good job so that you can actually afford to move out of my house one day, okay? You need a good job so that you can then one day get a good husband or a good wife. And then you can move into a good neighborhood. And then you can have good kids. And then you can find a good church. And then you can have good friends. And then your kids can then, you got to be in the right neighborhood so that your kids can go to the right good school so that they can just repeat the same thing too, so that they can get good grades to get into a good college. And this cycle goes on and on and on. And the reason why so many people go into college thinking that this needs to be the best 4 years of your life is because their goal after college is so small. It's so small. We just think it's this nice little good life, get good grades, you can get a good job, get a good house, get a good wife, get a good husband, have good kids, live in a good neighborhood. And there's just something about it. There's something about after college and that small, good little life that I think that deep down inside all of us right now, we already know that that's a complete and total waste. We know right now that if we graduated from college and all we did was achieve this small little life of a good job and a good neighborhood with good kids and a good spouse and going to good schools, that if that's it, if that's what we're heading to, there's most of us in the room, we already know something about that sounds like a complete and total waste of time. And here's how I know that you guys already know that that's a waste. I went and I looked at the top 10 grossing movies of 2012. So last year, 2012, what were the top grossing movies? Just not which movies were the most critically acclaimed. Which ones actually made the most money? Which were the movies that people were paying the most to go and see? And there's a really interesting pattern. If you look at seven of the top 10 movies, there's a really interesting pattern. I'm going to see if you guys can can catch on. So here we got some images to support these. So let's put up the first one here. So I think this one was number 8. This was the 8th highest grossing movie of 2012. So it made $237 million. We got Merida there with Brave, okay? So that was like the 8th grossing movie. I think the 7th grossing movie that was this, The Amazing Spider-Man, $262,000. All right. Dumb, is that what somebody said? Dumb? All right, well, it gets better. It gets awesomer. Watch this. Okay, so number 5. What was number 5? The Hobbit made $302,000, or $302 million. All right, what was the number 4 grossing movie? Skyfall. All right. Are you guys allowed to see that one? Like, that's good that you guys know that. All right, what was the number 4, I think? Or no, number 3, Hunger Games, $408 million. I just watched that one for the first time last night. That was really good. I liked that one. And if you'll notice here, too, ladies, like, of these top 10 grossing movies, 2 of them have a girl with a bow and arrow. And so I'm guessing that's the new mace is a bow and arrow. So just start carrying that around, and that's totally in and trendy. Okay, number 2. Number 2 grossing movie, Dark Knight Rises. All right, $448 million. That was my favorite on the list. Anybody know what number 1 was last year? Avengers, that's right. $623 million. They made $150 million more than The Dark Knight Rises. Isn't that crazy? I thought it was like 150 million times suckier than The Dark Knight Rises. But anyway, that was the number 1. Okay, so come back. What was the theme there? Do you understand that? In every single one of those, don't miss this. In every single one of those, 7 of the top 10 grossing movies, every single one of them involved somebody that was living the exact opposite of the good small little life. Not one person in any of those storylines was going to college to get a good job, to get good grades, to get a good job, to graduate and find a good spouse and live in a good neighborhood with a good house and good kids, going to good schools and this repeat. Every single one of those movies had somebody who was doing something amazing, somebody who was not wasting their life. And you know who was paying to go see those movies? How many of those do you think your grandparents saw? 0. You probably did not go to The Dark Knight Rises with grandma, right? Your grandmother probably, or your grandfather probably did not go to see Skyfall. You know who paid to go see those movies was you guys. It was teenagers, it was college students, it was young adults, it was all these people who were in the middle of trying to build up this good little life that looked at that and said, you know what, there's something about those stories that just stirs our souls. Like, we feel real emotion when we're watching those movies. There's something about somebody who rises up against the circumstances, somebody who is not living the normal little boring life, that just causes us to go, I want some of that. There's something deep inside my heart that resonates with that story. And so we're kind of stuck. Like, we've got this little dilemma. It seems like we've only got 2 options. It seems like we've only got 2 options. On one hand over here, we can become our parents. We can just get good grades, find the good job, live in the good little house, good schools, all that kind of stuff. Or we can become Batman, right? And we know that around about 4th grade, putting on a cape and dressing up like a Batman is no longer uncool, or is no longer cool. And so we know that that really is a story. We're smart enough to know that that's a story. And so we just by default sit there and go, okay, I can't be Batman. So the way to greatness must mean trying to figure out a way to do this small little good life in a way that's a little better than my parents. And we're trying to find something. It seems like those are the only 2 alternatives, is become mom and dad, or become like, you know, this small little good life, or the other option is to become Batman. And the question I think we all should be wrestling with, the question I think you guys should be wrestling with tonight is there an alternative? Is that it? Are there really only 2 options when you go to school? Are the only 2 options, hey, try to become a superhero, or make sure that college is the best 4 years of your life, because everything else after that is going to be small and boring? Is there a third option? So if you've got your Bibles, that's one of the questions we're going to try to answer. Let's open up to 1 Peter chapter 2. So Peter, as you guys probably know, was a disciple of Jesus. He got to hang out with Jesus for 3 years and was a leader in the early church. And so Peter wrote this letter to a bunch of churches that were really facing situations or circumstances that were similar to you and I, similar to our circumstances. And the similarity was this, is that the people who were receiving this letter from Peter were living in a culture where Christianity was not like the accepted norm. It wasn't this really big deal. Christians were kind of pushed to the margin. It wasn't the prevailing worldview in this culture that Peter was writing to. And so Peter is writing to this church, encouraging them, reminding them of the gospel of Jesus Christ, reminding them that they themselves have been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus and are now in a relationship with God. And therefore, that has implications on our life today. And so in chapter 2, I just want to pick up because Peter has something really interesting to say. And in here, I think, is a third alternative. It's a different mindset that each and every one of us can have as we approach life. It's a different mindset that you guys can have as you approach college. And so let's pick this up, and we're just going to look at two verses tonight. And then next week, we're going to look at two more verses. So chapter 2, verse 9. Let's look at this. This is Peter talking to followers of Christ. He says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people. But now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So let's just look here. Let's double click on verse 9 here. So this is what he says. So, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who has called you out of darkness." And so there is absolutely positively a third alternative. Our only options in life are not this small little boring life or the life of a superhero. There is a third option that is open to every single one of us. You can go into college with a different mindset. You don't have to just say, this is going to be the best 4 years of my life, and then after everything after that is going to be good. The third option there in verse 9 is this. It is the word priesthood. There is a third option for every single one of us, no matter what circumstances we're facing in life. And that option is that we can understand that because of what Christ has done on the cross, we now have the privilege, not the requirement, not that we're forced to, we have the privilege of being one of God's priests. And that word is kind of weird in our culture nowadays, and I don't want you to think like Catholic priest or Episcopal priest with, you know, weird clothes and never getting married or anything like that. What I want you to think about is I want you to think about an Old Testament, like a Levitical priest. One of those priests who used to be the mouthpiece or the spokesman for God. This thing that Peter is inviting us into, this truth that Peter is reminding followers of Christ of, this is a privilege. This is an incredibly big deal that God has saw fit to allow us to participate in him as he's redeeming the world, as he is proclaiming to the world, declaring to the world the praises of him. That's the third alternative. That's the option. When you go to school, if and when you go to college, you are not there just to become somebody's employee. You are not there to fulfill somebody else's dream. You are not there to become somebody else's story or to fill up somebody else's Facebook page or Instagram thing. You are not there even really for you. When you step foot on a campus, you are there as somebody's priest. And you have the privilege of being able to participate in what God is doing on that campus. You know what this means? This means that whatever school you end up going to, it is not an accident. And I know right now you're thinking there's a lot of choices as you're filling out applications or you're trying to get good test scores or you're trying to go around and do all these college visits and all this kind of stuff. And it seems like you've got all this burden of responsibility on your shoulders to figure out, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? What school do you want to go to? How are you going to be able to handle all this? But the fact of the matter is that God is placing priests. He is placing his spokesmen on campuses all across the nation. Because he wants to see these college campuses redeemed. He wants to see all of these campuses declaring the praises of him who has called us out of darkness. It means it is no accident wherever you're going. There is a different alternative. When you go into school, you don't have to go in just saying, this is going to be the best 4 years of my life, and I just got to make sure that I can get good grades so I can get a good job. You can sit there and go, I am here because the sovereign God of the universe has placed me here. And yes, I am here to proclaim his goodness by getting good grades. And yes, I am here to try to make friends. And I am here to have a good time and to have some good memories. But I am primarily here, not for me, not to become somebody's employee. I am here as a priest of the mighty God. and I can be his spokesman, I can be his mouthpiece, and it is a privilege. It is a privilege to be a part of what he's doing. And you want to see the beautiful thing about this? You don't actually have to go to college to do it. Look at verse 10. This actually can start tonight. This actually can start tomorrow when you're still in high school. You don't have to go away to do this. Look at this. Once you were not a people of God, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is not something that we necessarily even have to wait to do. This is something that we get to participate in right now. To me, that was one of the worst parts of being a student. I hated always feeling like my life was in waiting. Like I was just in high school to get ready to go to college, and then I was just in college to get ready to go and actually, you know, find a job and live life. Just always feeling like for 21 or 22 years of always just being in waiting, never being able to participate in anything that matters. And if Peter were sitting in this room tonight, he would look at every single one of us and go, "You are not in waiting for this. This is something that can start right now." And so the reason I share this with you guys is that for some of you, I know in a room this size with this many people, for some of you, the freedom you can't wait for when you go to school, the freedom you can't wait for is to check out on God. That's actually better than like the wall of cereal to you. Is thinking that mom and dad aren't going to call you on Sunday morning and make sure that you go to church, or nobody's going to check in with you on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night or whatever night the campus ministry meets. Nobody is going to follow up with you and ask you if you're reading God's word, if you're memorizing scripture, if you're being in community, or if you're sharing your struggles. Nobody is going to question you about that. And for some of you guys, that is the freedom you cannot wait for. That's Twinkies all day, every day to you. It's just being able to completely check out on God. And there is just going to be this temptation to just forget or to think that you're there to become somebody's employee, or that you're there to fulfill somebody else's dream or to become somebody else's story, and to walk away from this fact that it is a privilege and you are not there by accident, or it may not be your intention. You're not going to go to school. You're going to go to school with the right intentions of just going, "All right, I'm going to be God's priest. I want to be God's man or God's woman on this campus," and you're going to get involved. You're going to get plugged in, but you are going to be in the minority. And you're going to hear that prevailing worldview over and over and over again. "Come on. Come on, let's go do this. We're young. Come on, we're not adults yet. Come on, this is supposed to be the best 4 years of your life. What are you going to remember more when you graduate? This thing, this party, this experience, or that you went and studied? What are you going to remember? This fun little thing that we went to go do, or the fact that you stayed in your room and read your scripture on a Friday night? What are you going to remember?" The prevailing worldview on that campus is not going to be, "I am God's priest. I'm God's man or woman on this campus, and I can be used as his spokesman." And when you hear those things, when you hear somebody just saying, "Come on, we're supposed to do this. We're supposed to be young. We need to remember that Peter told us that." No. Because I know exactly where that leads. If I embrace this mindset that this is the best 4 years of my life, then I'll tell you what, I'm going to waste my life. Like that's actually a terrible view of college. It's just think that one little snapshot in time is supposed to be the best 4 years of your life. Like that's like Uncle Rico. Like nobody wants to become that. That sounds cool when you're a freshman in college, but I'm telling you what, when you start talking to 35-year-olds and the best years of their life were college, that's not cool anymore. It's sad. And we know that there is something more that we can do. We know that all of that would be a complete and total waste if that's what it was. And guys, the way that we cannot waste our life, the way that we cannot waste our life is if we just embrace this purpose. Just embrace this purpose that we've gotten. That it is no accident that we are there. And so, you know, my life changed when I was in college. Right before my 21st birthday is when I became a follower of Christ. And there was a guy in my fraternity. I joined a fraternity. I did not join a fraternity to meet God. I joined a fraternity to do all the things that fraternity guys do. That's why I joined a fraternity. But in my fraternity, God had placed some priests there. There were a pocket of four or five believers, guys who were following hard after Christ and trying to be influential in that fraternity. I'll never forget, there was a guy named Adam Landrum who I had a conversation with him when I was 19 years old. And the very first conversation I had with him, he sat down and he said, "Hey, as a pledge in the fraternity, you had to go and interview all these brothers." And so I was doing this interview of him as a pledge. And he said, "I ask all the questions in the interview." And I was like, "That is awesome, because I'm tired of asking questions. And so just tell me, you ask me questions." He goes, "Here's the question I want to ask you. Adam, if you die tonight, are you going to go to heaven or hell?" And I mean, I just like, I was 19. I was offended by that. I was like, "What? Like, what a dorky question to ask me right now. What do you mean? I would go to heaven." And he was like, why would you go to heaven?" And I was just sitting there baffled, like, what, you know, I'm nice to my mom. I get good grades. When I hurt my sister's feelings, I say I'm sorry. I've given money to somebody once. You know, I just started listing off all of these great things that I thought I had done. And he was like, "You know, that's great. That's noble that these are some of the great things that you want to do or that you've done those things. But I just want to let you know, you can't be good enough to get into heaven." And he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with me, that God saw our predicament, that whatever, you know, bridge analogy, all that stuff. He was using all of it. This is where you are. This is where God is. You can't get over there. Jesus Christ died so that you can now have a relationship with God. And it was mind-boggling to me. And I wish I could tell you guys that I had all kinds of intellectual objections. I didn't accept Christ and become a follower of Christ there at 19. I watched that guy for 2 years. I watched him for 2 years and saw that there were really huge differences between my life and his life. And I wish that at that moment, when I was 19, when I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, I wish that I could tell you that my objections were intellectual. I wish I could tell you that I was having, you know, I had my atheist philosophy professor that had started messing with my head, or, you know, I had all these intellectual objections, and there were none. My reason for not becoming a follower of Christ right then and there was simply because of this worldview that I had, that this was going to be the best 4 years of my life. I thought following Christ was going to be getting to that small little life quicker. In fact, I even told him, I said, "I'm going to do that when I'm older. I'm going to do that after I graduate. That's what I'm going to do when I have the good job in the good neighborhood with the good wife and the good kids, and they're all going to a good school." But Adam did not give up. That guy did not give up, and he continued to pursue me, and it was a relationship with me, because he understood that if he was there doing that, that he was just going to waste his life, and he did not want to waste his life. He understood that Peter told him, and that God's word instructed us, that he could be a mouthpiece and a spokesman for God right now. This wasn't going to wait for him to graduate. He didn't have to wait to graduate. He didn't have to have a degree to do this. This was something he could do right now. And that guy had a tremendous influence on people's lives in my fraternity. And by the grace of God, I was one of them. And so, guys, there is a third alternative. The only alternatives are not just living this small little life and making sure that college is the best 4 years of your life or Batman. There is a third alternative, and that third alternative is to embrace the privilege of being one of God's priests. And so I just want to close with this. Here's what I want you guys to do. I want you to do two things. I want you to do two things this week. One of them is, like, I just want you to, at some point, tonight or tomorrow, just get alone with God. And this isn't even really like a prayer that I want you. I just want you to think about, in God's presence, if you were going to go to school like tomorrow, go to college tomorrow, why would you be there? What are you most excited about? What are you starting to dream about now of what the college life would be like? Are you going to be doing that so that you can just get the good grades to get the good job? Or is there something else, some other goal that's there? And I want you to be honest with yourself. And if your goal is, "Yeah, I just want to get good grades, that's why I'm going to go to college," or "I'm just going to go to college because my parents are telling me I need to do that," or "I'm just going to go to college because all my friends are going to do that." If that's your answer, then I want to encourage you and challenge you guys to trade that dream in. Trade that reason in and talk to God and say, "All right, God, this is my reason right now, and I want to give that to you. I want to trade that dream in for your bigger dream. I want the reason that I would maybe go and do something, like go to school or do something, I want it to be fueled by you. I want to understand that I can be used by you, and that I want to go there as your priest, as your spokesman, as somebody that will be used by you to help bring your message to that campus." That's what I want you. I want you to have a conversation with God about that this week. And then there's a second thing I want you to do, and this is really, really practical, but this is going to be really important as well. A lot of you guys know college students, and I want you to reach out to them this week. You can text them, you can email them, you can send them a message, however you want to, call them up. But I want you to ask them a question, and we're going to put this question up here on the screen. I want you to ask them one question. Ask at least one college student. You can ask more if you want to, but I want you to ask them, hey, you know me. What will I need to do to keep growing in my relationship with Jesus while in college? Just ask them. Just leave it wide open like that. Just say, just give me some advice. Give me some advice. What will I need to do to keep growing in my relationship with Jesus while in college? And then whatever answer you get back, I want you to copy, paste it, send it over a summary, send it to David. Send it over to David. Text over your answer to David. We're going to collect those and talk about some of those next week. And so that's it. Two things. I want you to have a conversation with God this week about what are you thinking about, what are some of your dreams, and the thoughts of trading those in for his dream and his plan for college. And the second one is I want you to reach out to a college student this week and ask them, what will you need to do to keep growing in your relationship with Christ? And I'll go ahead and I'll save Blake because he's the college student in the room. Nobody's allowed to ask Blake, okay? So I don't want all of you guys going over there and swarming to him. So you got to ask somebody else besides Blake, okay? So that's what we'll do, and then we'll come back next week, and we'll look at two more verses next week and some more practical things to do as Christians go to college. And let me pray for us right now. God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to waste our life. And that's not, Lord, because we're perfect, and it's not because there's something special about us that we get to be a part of your plan and your kingdom moving forward here on earth. It has everything to do with you and your grace and your mercy in our life. And God, I am grateful for the privilege that we have to participate and be your spokesman and to be used by you on campuses or just wherever we are in our life right now. I'm grateful, Lord, that there is a third option. That we don't just have to pursue this small little good life and we don't have to dream about being a superhero. But Lord, we can we can right now do things that matter and be used by you in whatever context that we're in. And so Lord, we're grateful for that, and it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Sorry, I ruined Adam's prayer with my breathing. Hey, that's why I'm so glad that Blake